Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Deshaun Watson news was front and center, but Justin Verlander said, well, watch this, okay? You want to talk about, go ahead, talk about Deshaun Watson while I'm striking out 12 and winning another game here and just dominating.
Nice try, Deshaun. Yeah. I know you tried to take the headlines away from me, but all you see now is talk about you still and right. Not me.
You know what now? Yeah. So try not to.
Yordan's like, hey, guys, what about Yordan? Yordan just hit another hole. Can Yordan not get some love for the RBIs that Yordan's producing?
Dude,
Kyle Tucker, King Tuck's like, hey, guys, what about Kyle Tucker? Are you seeing what I'm slashing lately? Have you seen my slashes over the last 26 games?
What about me, Breggers? I'm walking all the time.
Look at me, Breggers. Hey, guys, what about me when I get ahead on the count 1-0? I'm pretty dope. You're not dope. Get out of here. What about me, Yuli? Remember when my hair used to be like this and I was pinging? It was a good time and fun. I didn't know y'all were going to take away my secret mojo, Carlos Correa. I didn't know he was Bluetooth to Correa. As long as Correa was there, Yuli was a killer. And now all of a sudden, Correa's gone and Yuli can't hit anymore?
I don't know that that's it as much as his bat's really slow.
Are you going to address this?
Remember last year when Bregman was crappy? Correa was
Bregman
here.
Got married. I'm being serious. Some guys fall off once they do that. He got his money. That guy isn't the gym rat he once was. I truly believe that. I might be wrong, but didn't Bregman fall off when he talked smack to the Red Sox? I think in the divisional round a few years back when they beat us. I'm telling you, these are all three different guys back to back to back. I'm telling you, after A.J. Hinch snatched Bregman's soul for showboating, he ain't been the same. Now, which one is it? Soul snatching, talking trash to the Red Sox, or getting married? Now, married has some...
Carrying bat down to first base is what did it.
Talk to Tiger, talk to Andre Agassi. The married thing has played a part in the past, apparently.
Yeah. No. Oh, man, Billy Harmon got mad at me. I think I mentioned Ricky Fowler and... Jordan Spieth, and he was like, well, yeah, you guys are saying stuff like that. It's a man's private life. I was like, oh, my goodness, dude, it's just a joke.
We say way worse, Billy.
Yeah, Bill. Oh, come on. That's nothing. We're talking about Deshaun and the fingers and
you
the stuff.
You see this? You see the baby move?
See Deshaun with his legs in the
Billy,
air?
Billy, look at this. That's his personal business. Well, it's actually well, it's out in the there. Deposition.
It's
now,
out there.
So
it's out there for everybody. Yeah. Okay. Which is it? The way that he reacted to and was, you know, whatever. Y'all pissed at us. So what? We cheated. Whatever. Is it that? Is it carrying his bat down to first base against the Nationals and A.J. Hinch getting all in his kitchen? Or is it getting married? Which one is it? Which one has been the downfall of Alex Bregman? I think it's the bat, carrying the bat down to first base.
I mean, really, a dressing down by a manager ruins you? It can't be that.
He hasn't hit since then.
You mean he had never gotten in trouble by anybody? So a lot of guys sucked, and Altuve sucked. He hit 217 the year that he, if I remember correctly, it was 217, the COVID year. A lot of guys were off. Bregman was off. Wasn't that big a deal. I think what happened was, Bregman was off in the COVID year, and something mentally, he started to panic. And I just think that it's a psychological issue. I read this. If you didn't hear it, I read the splits. It was pretty shocking. For when he's ahead 1-0 in the count, he's hitting like 385 this year. When he's behind in the count, he's hitting 140. Every count that he gets behind in, he is terrible. Terrible. And yet when he's ahead in the counts, he's not that bad. So what does it tell you? Well, it tells you that once somebody gets ahead of him, he's got to be inside his own head right now.
Well, you look at most everybody's numbers, not as bad as Bregman's, but everybody's numbers are down when they're behind in the count.
No question, but Alex Bregman actually is hitting decent when he's ahead in the count.
Yeah, no.
Well,
if you're going to stay in the big leagues, you better hit when you're ahead in the count. Because you're not going to stay in the big leagues. Because if you're always down in the count, and you ain't going to hit, guess what? You ain't going to be in the big leagues long. Alex Bregman has got some problems. Now, he's still got a great eye. He's got an unbelievable eye because he's still walking. And you know what? He's still getting on base, and he's still scoring runs with Yordan and Tucker behind him, which is a good thing. But you need your three-hole hitter to do more than hit 217. You need your three-hole hitter to start. Now, Dusty, yesterday, listening to him, he said, you know, these guys are not – they're not video games. Okay, this is not a video game. Guys have confidence, and you know what? You keep on plugging them in there. You keep plugging them in there. This is where they hit. This is where they feel comfortable hitting. I felt the same way when I was a player. I feel comfortable in this slot, in the order, and so there you have it. However, you can't keep throwing a guy out there if he's underperforming. But what would it do to Alex Bregman if he's batting seventh in the lineup? And if you want to know the truth, Alex Bregman should be hitting sixth or seventh in the lineup. He really should be. But what would it do to Alex Bregman's confidence if he gets there to the ballpark tonight at 3 o'clock and he looks at the lineup and he goes, holy crap, I'm hitting seventh.
I don't care. What is his confidence already? I just ran through the splits. Anytime he's behind his confidence, if he's behind an account, his OPS drops 500 points. Like, it's precipitous. So I'm not worried about his confidence. I'm worried about putting together the best lineup I can. And if he can't be in the major leagues, like if he doesn't have the mental toughness to be in the major leagues and handle a movement in a, like, how is he going to handle, how's he going to handle being behind an account if he can't handle moving to a different spot in the lineup? That's the biggest bunch of crap.
Well, it's so much in Dusty's mind. It's so important that when Mauricio Dubon plays left field for Michael Brantley, he hits him second.
Super weird.
That's how much
that he doesn't want to disrupt anybody because apparently they may crumble. Have you seen your lineups are really not hitting that great? Do you want me to go back and look at Astro? I don't know that people fully recognize now that Yuli is like Brad Ausmus, and Alex Bregman is like. You know, a little with more pop. Alex Bregman is basically like Adam Everett. There's no difference from a batting order. Do you remember when 230? You used to look at 230, 240, go, God, this guy sucks as a hitter. Yuli's at 219 and Bregman's at 217. Now, I understand that we slash it out and go on base and all that, and as you should, because it tells a more clear picture. But you know, they are not good. They are not good hitters this year. And for Bregman, you know, for Yuli, you just say, well, I don't know. I mean, Yuli led the league in hitting last year. For Bregman, you say, how long is this going to last?
Yeah.
I'm not making a decision off of Bregman's quote-unquote fragile confidence. He's not confident as it is now.
He doesn't have any
decisions on that. I'm sorry, but you got to go. And if it means Pena, the rookie, goes to the three-hole, then we'll go to the three-hole. We'll see if it shakes you up. We'll see if it pisses you off. We'll see if it gets some red ass going in you. Because I can tell you this. We need to see Bregman red ass again.
As bad as it's been, he's third in run score, just one behind Altuve.
Yeah, he gets on base.
Altuve's hitting 280, and Bregman is hitting 217.
Look who's hitting behind him.
Run
producers.
Run producers. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question about it. And Pena, at the bottom of the order, has got 23 runs because he's on base quite a bit. You know, Yordan Alvarez with 37 runs this year. Runs are kind of a big deal. But Alex Bregman is still somewhat productive because of the walks. It's unbelievable. The dude has 33 walks this year, by far the most on the team. Tucker has 28. Yordan has 28. Those are power hitters that come up with game situations with first base open. Alex Bregman is basically doing this because everybody's pitching Alex Bregman. Everybody's pitching Alex Bregman this year, and he's just got a great eye. You're trying to work around Tucker and Alvarez because you're worried about them crushing the ball. People ain't worried about Alex Bregman crushing the ball. Spencer wants to get in here and talk about Bregman. What do you say, Spencer?
Hey, guys. Those stats that Lance went through were very, very interesting because Bregman, I don't really understand what's going on because his eye is still incredible. He leads the American League in walks, and it's not his pitch selection. But it's almost like he needs to have like a boot camp with Alex Cora, because what Cora did a couple of years ago was, you know, basically drill into these guys' heads, look for pitch to drive, look for pitch to drive, look for pitch to drive. And so Bregman is laying off pitches that are outside of the strike zone, but then when he has a pitch to drive, he just doesn't do it. And then you combine that with he's had a little bit of a bad luck. I mean, last night he hit one in the left center, great catch by the center fielder. 2 games ago, he hit the ball lopsided, line drive to the third baseman. So hopefully it's just a matter of just some sort of tiny mechanical or psychological glitch, because he was AL Player of the Week the first week of the season. I mean, he came out of spring training just hitting the cover off the ball. So it's very strange. It doesn't make sense. He's not flailing pitches, but he's just not barreling the ball up.
Nope.
So I don't know. We'll see.
We'll find out. Whether I like that he's going the other way some, but we got to talk about this is a great, we got a great stat on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But I've got GimmeTheVin.com. That's what I've got. I got GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. If you're looking for the best way to sell your car, John Clay Wolf is here for you at GimmeTheVin.com. You put in your license. You put in the VIN number. You put in your license plate number, and you're going to find out what your vehicle is worth. And you do that. Now you're armed, okay, when you go to CarMax. CarMax is not going to match the GimmeTheVin.com offer. If CarMax does beat GimmeTheVin's offer, then you are going to get $100. If you go back to GimmeTheVin.com and they can't match it, if they can't match it or beat it, then you're going to get $100 from GimmeTheVin.com. That's not going to happen, though. It's just not going to happen because it doesn't happen, because they always beat CarMax. They'll beat your dealership as well. If you're looking for the best way to sell that vehicle, you want the most for your car, sure you do. You go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Lance, let me ask you a question. We're talking about Bregman, we're talking about Yuli. Let's talk about Machete and Castro.
I just give them, I already know who they are.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that this catcher position and how poorly they're hitting, do you think it might be the worst in baseball this year?
Well, I'd say it almost has to be.
Would you say that it might be the worst in baseball history?
It's low.
It is. The answer is yes. It's the worst in baseball history.
Wow.
There are apparently the Houston Astros catchers have the lowest average of any team's catcher position in the history of Major League Baseball. There are 2,632 teams listed on Fangraphs. The 2022 Houston Astros catchers are 2,632nd.
That's astonishing.
Out of 2,632.
That's astonishing.
Isn't that unbelievable? A 124 average. 4 homers, 14 RBIs, 20 runs scored. By the way, the other night when Altuve was, I didn't realize there was only one out. I thought Altuve tried to stretch a single into a double while Maldonado was trying to score. And I thought, oh my gosh, Jose, you got to wait for him. You got to wait. He's carrying a piano around third base. You can't do that. Then I realized Jose Altuve was being altruistic. He gave himself up because they probably could have thrown a Maldonado out at home.
Yeah, it was an easy out.
Easy out.
It was an easy out for I wondered the same thing, and I saw the run scored, and I wasn't bothered
about
it anymore.
I said, well, you know what, Jose, I was
I feel like you could do both. Like, do you have to take it out for sure? I guess if you're just going to draw the attention, you're probably going to be, if they turn their attention to you, you've done your job.
Yeah.
You know it's an out.
You've seen guys give themselves up
in a
rundown so that the guy can score.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what Altuve did. He was being altruistic, and I love that because he's a team guy. That's what I love about Jose Altuve.
Yeah, no, you do.
Jackie made the point Jackie says, well, I'd leave Bregman. He's getting on base, on pace for 2090. He's not killing him. Yuli needs to be sixth behind Tucker. Yuli is sixth behind Tucker now. Tucker's batting fifth. But Bregman is not. He's on pace more like 17. Okay, let me ask you this. You're a three-hole hitter. 217, 17 homers, and 82 RBIs. Is that acceptable?
Say it again?
217 average, 17 homers, 82 RBIs.
Over the course of a year, it's not for a good team.
Yeah.
Not for a good team.
They've already dropped Yuli. Yuli's already hitting six. Tucker's batting fifth the last couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, how can – oh, my God. How's Yuli going to be able to survive mentally when he's going to be like, I am not in a – what is that going to do to him? When he went to the park, he must have been shattered mentally.
It was tough for Dusty because – now you're going Yordan and Tucker back-to-back, two lefties back-to-back. When you know Dusty likes, oh, no, I want to stagger that. I want to stagger that. Stagger, 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 stagger. Forget staggering. Yuli can't hit. Put Tucker fifth and have him right behind Yordan. When Yordan's on second base with two outs, you got Tucker up instead of Yuli.
I'm looking at Martin Maldonado versus Mark Bailey. I'm trying to find the worst Astro hitting Astro catcher in history.
This is it. No.
No, that's what I'm trying to find, like, I want to, because I remember it felt like, it does. I don't know what it is where I don't feel as bad about Machete at the plate as other Astros catchers historically. And maybe it was because your lineups weren't as good and you're like, oh, no, another out. But now with the Astros, you don't sweat a single out as much. At least you haven't in the past. Mark Beetle Bailey. Career batting average of 220. Career OPS is 674. Maldonado, career batting average of 208. OPS 630. He was worse than Mark Bailey. That's, and this isn't an era where you have more offense now.
Well, a lot of people don't know who Mark Bailey was.
Mark Bailey is one of the worst.
He's just one in a long line of Astros catchers who can't hit.
Name a bad Astros hitting catcher. Oh, let's look at Brady Ausmus, right? You can go to stathead.com, by the way. That's the secret weapon. STATHEAD.com. Let's go to Brad Ausmus. Now, Brad Ausmus is universally known as one of the worst hitters in Astros. You know, he was kind of, we joke about
he's
him.
He's probably
being
middle
a,
of the road for Astros.
A pitch framer. Yeah, exactly. Brad Ausmus, career batting average. You're right. I have to take a look at 252 with an OPS. His OPS is 669. His slugging percentage is .344, same as Machete's.
Well, but you're getting a lot less out of Machete than you got out of Brad Ausmus. Although, defensively, Machete. Okay, you can frame pitches and you can throw out runners. Keep running them out there, baby. Keep running them out there. All right, we got to take a break. 713-780-3776. Drew Brees is out at NBC after 1 year. Drew Brees.
This is old, though.
What?
How is this a new deal?
What do you mean this is a new deal? This is 11 minutes ago.
How is this coming out again? Oh, wait. Don't tell me that's The Athletic.
He's out at Notre Dame. I think maybe this is new that he was out on their NFL, but now he's also out on Notre Dame.
We already knew he wasn't going to do NFL. Remember Drew started hinting he might come back to football?
Right. Now he's out at Notre Dame as well. Not a very long career in broadcasting. Not quite the career Drew Brees.
I'll be honest, he didn't add.
He didn't add much at all. You know who is? Listen. I got something to tell you before we go to break here. We're kicking off the second annual Summer Circuit this Friday, Constellation Field, home of the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. It's just 2 days away. The Wheelhouse is going to be broadcasting live. Get your tickets now and join us. Go to slspacecowboys.com. All summer long, you'll be able to register to win the grand prize, a Weber Smokefire EX6 wood pellet grill from Texas Star Grill Shop. Plus, you can win a family getaway to Lafayette, the heart of Louisiana's Cajun and Creole country. I just did it a couple of weeks ago. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. The Summer Circuit broadcast this Friday from the home of the Sugar Land Space Cowboys. And how would you get there if you had to drive to Lafayette? Craig DeSurf can get you there.
He can get you there. I've made that trip before. I usually go past Lafayette, but I recognize the delicious cracklings and whatnot in Lafayette. And I'll tell you this much as well. When you are on a trip with your family or by yourself, having a vehicle that rides smooth, that gets you, you know, that has the safety features, that maybe has the carrying space. Maybe that's what you're looking for. Maybe you're looking for a vehicle that has better gas mileage. It could be any number of things that drive you for the way, you know, for the type of car that you're looking for. I can tell you this, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is going to do everything in their power to get that for you. They will go through their entire inventory. They will run you through the inventory that's coming up, you know, with all the supply chain issues. It's been slow for dealerships. One of the things that has happened is that some dealerships are really raking it in because they're starting to charge above sticker price. And what can you do about it if you need a car? They're just kind of holding you hostage, but not at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Craig DeSerf and his crew, they never go above sticker price. They say, look, this is the highest price that we're going to go on a vehicle. And in many instances, they are below that sticker price. And it doesn't matter to them what the, you know, listen, they're doing fine business-wise. They want to make sure that they help you out because they don't look at this as a one-time transaction. They want you to come to them for your second car and for your friends to come for their vehicles and for your family members. And so treating you the way that they would want to be treated, that's the way you do it. And it means great pricing. It means great finding great vehicles for you. It means letting you run the car buying experience and telling them what you want and what you need, not them shoving a vehicle down your throat. So Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, where they give you the best trade-in value for your vehicle. They find all the discounts and rebates they can find for you. And then the service after the sale is astonishingly good and award-winning year after year after year. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Got me hot.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Maybe. Bill Zimmerman says he leads the team in on-base percentage by a decent amount, in my opinion. I'd rather have him hit in front of sticks right now. On-base percentage is not an opinion.
No, I'm a numbers guy, so I know that's not an opinion.
It's a stat. It's a fact.
And some of the draft work I've done as the preeminent draft guy, you know, I'll look at some of those numbers, and I can attest that those numbers are actually historical data, and it's not opinion.
That's what
we found in our in the circle we run in.
Yeah,
it's not an opinion.
And good point though. Jackie says, yeah. Well, if you put him in the six hole, then he's on base, and he's got Pena and Maldonado and Siri behind him. Who's going to knock him in? Well, maybe Pena will knock. Pena's knocking people in. Pena's doing a pretty decent job out of the seven hole for most of the season. Sometimes the eight hole, and he's been doing a pretty damn good job. Now, but you can't have, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Actually, he's leaving Bregman in there. He has moved Yuli already out of the five hole and into the six hole. So Kyle Tucker is getting more opportunities with Yordan on base, which is good. So you know, we'll see what happens with the lineup. Hey, listen, something's got to happen though, because something has got to happen for this team to score more runs. It's got to score more runs. It's a fact. You missed my last two tweets, damn it. I missed your last two tweets. I'm sorry, Bill Zimmerman. Bill Zimmerman is a good follow. If you're not following him, he's pretty funny. 737
Texas Bill.
713-780.
He's going to Sean Watson stuff. I'm waiting for him to have a new video.
Yeah.
Well, Deshaun's not a text anymore, so it doesn't matter. I talked to somebody yesterday. I'll tell you who later. And I said, you know, how many people are cheering against Deshaun Watson right now? He goes, honestly, I kind of am. He goes, I think he's a bad guy. I don't think that, I don't feel bad about him getting in trouble. I hope he gets in trouble. And I was thinking, I wonder what that percentage is like in Houston from a, how much of that is just sports related, like he left the Texans and he, you know, and how much of that is just purely
Coach Reese? He's against all these hoes. Coach Reese is all this money grab. I'm like, wow, dude.
Yeah.
26 women? Really? It's all a money grab? Now, yeah. I will say this. We talk about the $100,000 that Deshaun should have given all 18, right?
Well, supposedly was offered.
So apparently was offered and accepted by, he had offers.
18 of the 22.
Of 18 of the 22, and he could have settled. Here's the thing about that, though. Here's the thing about that, is now all of a sudden we're seeing more. Now we've got a couple more just this week. If he would have given $100,000 to all of those, he's got at least 66 on the books that Jenny Vrentas was talking about. 66 massages.
Well, that he booked. And some of them may have been the same.
Hey,
person.
I felt uncomfortable too. Boom, lawsuit. Boom, give me my 100. Give me my 100. If you set up a precedent of giving all of them $100,000, now all of a sudden, I don't know when you'll see it end.
Listen, and this is not a personal commentary on anything, from a strategic standpoint, the unwillingness to get this completely off the books and get it completely out of there so nothing went public was now.
Well, that's well in the past, though. He should have done that the first one when came forward. He didn't.
That's what I mean.
But what I'm saying now, though, is that if you just give all, listen, well, just to get this out of here, I'm going to give you $100,000. There's 66. Dude, it would never end.
Yeah, but you have to, and when there's not 66, there's 66 massages that were booked. It doesn't mean there were 66 people. In 17 months, he booked 66
massages.
There
were 66 different women that he got massages from.
Are
That's
you
what
sure
Jenny Brenta said, yes.
But that doesn't mean that all of them, many of them, most of them, a higher percentage have not come forward.
No, but now, well, neither did the 23rd and 24th until this week.
Right. And I don't know if
and there are a couple
of,
that have criminal complaints that aren't even civilly suing. Listen, he has got to, and actually, right now I'm thinking he has got to do each of these separately. Because if you just generically give $100,000 to everybody that's complaining and everybody that's suing won't ever end.
No, that's not the rate anymore.
Well, I don't know what the rate is.
It ain't going to be $100,000.
Well, it was $100,000 that he was going to give each of them.
But what happened was when the Dolphins wouldn't do the deal,
right.
When Stephen Ross said, because here's what happened. What happened was Brian Flores wanted Deshaun Watson so bad. Also, by the way, David Mulligetta is his agent. He wanted Deshaun Watson so bad. He goes, listen, let's just get Deshaun. And so Deshaun's side was looking into settling. There was 18 that agreed out of the 22 to the money. And this is what Brian Flores said. Let's just get Deshaun. We'll figure it out. We don't need a – let's just figure it out. That's what he wanted to do. Stephen Ross said, no. And I know this. This is coming from the Dolphins building. We knew about this back in January. No, we are not going to just settle and hope that the rest of them work out. We're not doing that. We're not going to trade for Deshaun Watson unless all this stuff is cleared up. So apparently what – and that was, by the way, a huge point of contention between moving forward, Chris Greer, and who is the general manager, and Brian Flores. Chris Greer, by the way, black. Brian Flores, black. There was a huge issue there between the two, and their relationship really soured. The reason I mentioned that he's black is because there is a lawsuit that Brian Flores has filed multiple lawsuits now. I can't remember the very specific charge, but basically racist practices. But that was the issues he had. The issues now, the separate thing he basically brought up the owner saying, if you lose games, there's bonuses or whatever.
That's a whole separate thing.
But the issue that Brian Flores had is he wanted Deshaun and didn't care if this all got settled. Now you see the problems here. The first mistake that Deshaun's side did was they should have said, what they did was they said, oh, if we can't get this done, we're not settling with anyone.
Right.
That's what it was. They said, we're not settling with anyone then. We'll just wait.
Well, they
should have done those 18 and closed
the door. That's exactly what I'm saying now is now every single one knows that there's $100,000 out there for them, and they will. Then it will become a huge money grab because they're just going to keep on coming and coming and coming
but
and coming because there's 66.
But Tony has to vet this. This is what I try to tell people.
Tony's not the only lawyer that could sue him.
No, that's right. But people who act like these are all, like, okay, for Reese's point, for anyone who says these are all money grabbers, I don't believe any of them. They're all out to get a dollar. Let me tell you something now. The amount of work that has to be done on each one of these women to vet them, because if you have bad actors inside of your lawsuit, It does unbelievable damage in a civil trial to the credibility
and listen,
of your
And there are varying degrees of what Deshaun did. Huge allegedly varying degrees. Did. Allegedly did. One says, oh, he just made me feel uncomfortable. He tried to touch me with it. That's not $100,000. It's not.
I don't know what it is. It's not right.
It's not going to be.
It's not right.
Deshaun forced me to do things to him. Now you're talking way more than $100,000. So there are varying degrees on all of these. You can't just give a blanket $100,000 to all of them in it because there's 66 out. The number is now 66. It ain't 24 anymore. There's a number out there that's 66, and we've already seen. And Tony Busby said last week, there will be more women coming forward. So if you give a blanket $100,000, now all of a sudden it ain't going. That number ain't 24 anymore. That number gets into the 30s and maybe 40s and maybe higher. 713-780-3776. You guys want to talk about it? We'll get you in on the other side. We promise. 713-780-3776. But first, get me a seat to a game, Lance.
Well, so I use Simple Seats to get tickets to tonight's game. So me and the wife and the kids are all going. It's the end of school. The kids are all out. So we're going to go watch Astros Mariners today. I got this a couple, I guess last week is when I got them. I went to Simple Seats. I found tickets I liked. I will tell you now, we sit in really good seats, but we're going to be in the upper deck. I'm not paying for six seats right now on the lower. I could have, but, you know, we've got some stuff coming up, a summer trip, and I'm like, look, these are really good seats. I went to Simple Seats. I clicked on the seats. It shows what the seats look like. Like, you see a 360 vantage point from those seats. I said, these are pretty good seats. We're right there on the front row on the upper deck. These aren't bad. I'm going to take these. I went through. I priced it. There is no fees. There's never any fees with Simple Seats. And we got into those seats, good seats, for a very reasonable price. And this is the thing. With Simple Seats, no one's touching them. There is not a secondary market. And frankly, even with Ticketmaster, they're not touching them. Because what happens is, have you ever gone through and seen those fees? I know you have. It's a joke. It's a joke what these companies are doing to you with their fees. At Simple Seats, Mike is a guy who worked for the Astros with their ticketing. Guess what he does? No fees. He understands that's the number one problem. So he gets you great seats at great prices, never any fees. And when you check out, you know that you're going to be able to download your tickets. You'll have them through your phone, and you're ready to go. And there's never any fees. You're going to find the best prices, and it's not even close at Simple Seats. Go to simpleseats.com for your Astros, your Dynamo. They've got some college football in there for you. And they're going to continue to grow. SimpleSeats.com. Use promo code Lance10. I did that and got $10 off my order over $50. For your first order over $50, you're going to get $10 off when you use promo code Lance10 at SimpleSeats.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Glorious sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
And we got a full board here, so let's go. 713-780-3776. You guys want to chime in on this Deshaun Watson thing? You're more than welcome. We got Robert Parrish joining us at the top of the hour, so let's get some calls in here quickly. Chad, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm just trying to figure out who looks more like a clown organization-wise, the Browns or the Texans. I mean, the Browns signed Deshaun to the deal, knowing he had allegations. He had a couple more pop up. I'm not sure why two or three more broke the camel's back, but then you have the report that the Texans assisted Deshaun in getting these massages. I mean, who looks more like a clown, the Browns or the Texans?
See, it's a misleading. I don't think they assisted him in any way, shape, or form. Okay, that's a misleading headline.
We have to go through
headline.
That, so why don't you tell people what was in the New York Times?
We got it quickly because we got other guys that want to get in here, but they didn't enable him. They gave him a room at the Houstonian Hotel, and they gave him a non-disclosure agreement.
Well, you don't know if they didn't, but you definitely don't know that they did. Based on what we saw in the New York Times. Yeah. I understand what the headline, because I was expecting to see something way more salacious, and I'm like,
it's definitely not.
Well,
I don't see
proof. Now, it is proof that the Texans gave him a non-disclosure, And the reason they did is because he brought to the attention of the security director that there was a girl who said she was going to expose him on the internet. So someone, we do know now that the organization, someone in the organization, we do know for a fact now that they knew at least there was one incident.
We don't know if it went further than that. If the front office knew anything about it. So I think the Browns look like crap, if you want to know the truth. I think the Browns and Phil Mickelson, I think that's probably who looks worse. The Browns or Phil Mickelson right now. I'm not sure. Gary is here. Gary, what do you want to talk about?
So to the original question, I don't really root for or against Deshaun. He's not a Texan anymore. Could really care less. But I do want to say, like, everybody who brings up, like, it's a money grab and people just recoil. And this is not saying that the women are lying or not. I don't know what happened, but they're going to civil court. The only recourse that they can get is money. So everybody who's suing him is trying to get money. And Tony Busby has made his whole career out of getting big settlements. Settlements equals money. So I'm not saying it's a money grab as if they are lying. I don't know. But every woman here is certainly trying to get money. They're not trying to get an apology or anything like that. And if they wanted to get other recourse, they go to criminal court. So I just want to say it's not the worst thing to say when somebody's like, they're trying to get money, because they're absolutely 100% trying to get money.
That's right. And Tony Busby made this point after reading the article by Jenny Vrentas, how in bed the appeared that the assistant DA was with Rusty Hardin, and how Tony Busby's people had no part in the criminal, in the grand jury investigation. Just one woman who had a criminal complaint talked to the grand jury, and yet the assistant DA talked to Rusty Hardin dozens of times, or over a dozen times. They texted each other, talked to each other, and everything else. It appears the only recourse that these women have is a civil suit, because there was no chance they were getting a criminal charges against Deshaun.
There is compensation. It doesn't change anything that happened. I saw this discussion. I was in the midst of a discussion where people talked about Uvalde and the family getting money and the idea, or people who have lost. This is not unusual. By the way, this happens literally every single day when there are incidents that happen, and some of them are criminal, some of them are not criminal. And this is like the backup. This is the secondary. You have criminal. And then the second thing is, hey, listen, this is monetary compensation for your pain and suffering or whatever the case may be. And we have seen that. We saw that in the OJ trial where OJ, there was a civil suit that he lost. We've seen it actually a lot of different times. The civil criminal is harder in this particular instance. We've had it discussed because it's a hearsay. So you don't have the physical evidence. Civil, there's a lower bar to cross. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the only thing that you can win in a civil suit is money. That's the only recourse you have.
That's it. Let's get Dennis in here. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, man. Called in last week, said this was a money grab. And let me clarify something. I didn't mean that Watson's not a freak. Okay? Obviously, he's a freak. He's doing it. But he happens to be a rich freak. If this was a broke freak, we wouldn't be hearing about this.
Right.
That was my only point. It's a money grab.
Well, if he was broke, he would. There's a greater percentage of chance he'd face criminal charges. Because the truth is, the DA, because Rusty Hardin would not be taking this case if he was a broke freak, and the DA would not have been afraid to go to war against Rusty Hardin. And then the DA would feel like, hey, this is going to be a little easier. When you get the very best lawyers, this is what money gives you.
Yeah.
The access to the very best lawyers changes the game. There's a different win percentage for a Rusty Hardin than there is for a public defender or a low-end lawyer who doesn't have the experience in this. Rusty Hardin understands, and it's not just Rusty Hardin, it's anybody. It's Tony Busby. I mean, it's anybody. That's a whole different win percentage. You're calling it, this is like having Justin Verlander on the mound for you versus Johnny McSlappy. For whoever, the Guardians or whoever.
Right.
I mean, it's a way different deal. So, yeah, that's the difference. Is if this were a broke guy, guess what? It probably wouldn't have even gone to civil suits because there is no monetary damage.
Yeah, what are you going to sue a guy civilly for?
But he probably would have ended up in jail because you would have probably had criminal charges, or at least he would have faced criminal charges. With this many things, it's more likely the grand jury would say, some broke guy, you would have said, oh, man, he's done this with how many women? They would have said, smoke, fire, yes, you can. There's not going to be a no bill here. We're going to bill him. You're going to have indictments, and you can move forward. That's the truth. Without money, money helps to get you the no bills, too. Like, let's not get it twisted. There's a lot of white-collar criminals who don't do time because guess what? They got the very best lawyers. That's the whole advantage of having the very best legal team. It's a huge advantage.
Let's break it here. Robert Parrish going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Chief, the NBA Hall of Famer. We got Golden State versus Boston. We'll talk a little bit about that, but mostly about Robert Parrish and his encounters with our Houston Rockets as well. We'll do that on the other side. But right now, I'm talking Absolute Marble and Granite. I'm talking about Jeff Aronoff getting you the deal, giving you 20% off right now because you're a 97.5 listener, getting you to fix your floors, getting you to fix your cabinets, getting you to fix your counters, your vanities, your showers, your bathtubs, your toilets, all of these things. And what? When was the last time you did anything? Are you going to sell your house someday? Or are you going to give it to the kids? Or whatever the case may be. But, man, it's from God. You haven't done anything. Let's do something. Let Jeff Aronoff come over and fix this place up. How about your business? Have you done anything? Is your toilet all gross? Do people not want to come to your business because your place is gross? Well, don't let it be gross. What you got to do is call Jeff Aronoff and let him make it look nice so people will come to your business, so people will come to your home, so the value of your home will be greater. All you got to do is start the process. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. No small jobs. Big jobs only. Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.